Can be concrete?
Yes.
It can be. Good. Okay.
That's all he said.
Okay.
No, just one profile.
Thank you.
To be suspended, timber framed. That's fine.
That deals with item number two. Yes, it's in a separate paragraph after the table in condition one, as a sentence and paragraph. Item three. Condition three, item three relates to the property 761 Darling Street, Roselle. Ground floor and first floor alterations and additions to an existing office administration building, including a new lift facility to the rear. The panel is satisfied that the public interest is best served by the consistent application of the requirements of the relevant planning instruments, and by council ensuring that any adverse effects on the surrounding area and the environment are appropriately managed. And the proposal is therefore not, in this case, contrary to the public interest. The proposal, as I just said, complies with the aims and objectives and design parameters contained in the LEP and the DCP. Will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. It's satisfactory for the site. The application is considered suitable for approval, subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. So accordingly...
I have another condition, Mr. Chairman.
All right. In the West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority, pursuant to 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, grant consent to the development application number D2018/282 for ground and first floor alterations and additions to existing office/administration building, including new lift facility to the rear at 761 Darley Street, Roselle, subject to the conditions listed in the attachment A to the report starting at page 179, subject to the following alteration.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to suggest that the proposed removal of the chimney breasts and nibs on the first floor is not approved.
Well, that's new.
Here.
You did that somewhere else. Is that the same development?
No, that's elsewhere.
Yeah, right.
I was talking.
Yeah, right. It's okay. Good. The condition is again, Mr. Stapledon?
That the proposed removal or demolition of chimney breasts and nibs on the first floor is not approved. The plans call these chimney breasts indents. So we might say the proposed removal of the chimney breast brackets indents and nibs
are not approved.
Are not approved.
And that's a paragraph added after the table in condition one. Did you get that, Ian? Paragraph after the table in condition one. You've got indents in and then words in brackets.
Indents in brackets
and ribs, that's it, on the first floor, are not approved. That's the decision of the panel.
They want to ask a question?
Yes, well, who wants to ask a question? Yes. Oh, the applicant. Beg your pardon?
He wants to comment on those
fireplaces. Oh, yes. Sorry, I didn't realise you were here.
It's the architect.
Yeah. Yes, you want to address a question?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I'm Brad Inwood. I'm the architect and the planner who prepared the application. Regarding those indents and fireplaces, in that room, it's the meeting room on the first floor that you're referring to, there is two fireplaces currently in that room, and there's indents that are in between those fireplaces. That's basically the old wall that runs between where the two rooms used to be. We've got no objection to the fireplaces, I suppose, if they have to be maintained. They're not original fireplaces. The mantle has been replaced. The indents are the old wall, so we'll be grateful if they could be removed at least. The reason is they do sort of affect the usability of that room. They have no purpose. The fireplaces I can see being based on heritage grounds, but those indents don't actually add to the room's layout.
I'm not sure what you mean by indents.
Yeah, have you got a copy of the plan there?
Yes.
Yep. Can you see on that first floor meeting room, you've got the two fireplaces on the top of the room.
Yes.
And then in between the two fireplaces, a little indent, there's a little smaller thing, sort of like a very small wall section.
I can only see windows.
Do you mind if I come up and show you?
Yes.
Well, it might be on the bigger plan. What's the plan number?
Number 7.
It's just a space.
Thank you.
Those little things.
They're nibs.
They're nibs.
Ah. Okay. Is there not a square arch above?
No. It's imagine this room had once a wall running through it.
Yes.
And they've taken all out. There's no. The ceiling runs through as one.
Yes.
But there's just these little brick nibs or in the or nibs
well,
come out.
I think they'd indicate the presence of an original wall.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think they should stay.
Yeah. They have no purpose because the ceiling runs through as such.
Thank you for explaining that.
Where did that take us?
I still recommend, Mr. Chairman, that we call them the nibs.
Yeah. Not dents. Dents, nibs in brackets.
Yeah, I'm not sure indents is the right word at all. So I'd propose we cross out the in brackets indents and just leave it breasts and nibs.
Sounds quite disgusting.
Yes.
It's nibs.
Nibs. When you put that together, it comes up on the screen. That's the decision of the panel. The next item for consideration is item number 4. That relates to the property at 49 Darling Street, Balmain East, alterations and additions to an existing two-storey mixed-use building. And the first person listed to speak in that respect is Matthew Toohey. Thank you, Mr. Toohey. 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, panel members. My name is Matthew Toohey and I own 5A Looks Avenue, Balmain East. The subject property at 49 Darling Street almost abuts my southwestern corner of my boundary. There are 3 points I'd like to talk about this afternoon. The first point is that this application is statutory non-compliant. Council's own officers highlight in their report that the non-compliant, the local Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013, with specific reference to clause 1.2, aims of the plan, 2.3, zone objectives, 4.4, floor space ratio, 5.10, heritage conservation, and 611A, residential accommodation in zone B1 and B2. The application is also non-compliant with Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013. The second point I would like to make is about amenity and privacy. If approved, people standing on the proposed third-storey balcony would be looking directly across at my two-storey rooftop deck and down into my pool area, which concerns me greatly as I have two girls under the age of 13 who spend a lot of time in their pool. The third point I want to make is around precedence. If this application was approved, it would set a terrible precedence and create massive issues for council. Other residents in the area would be seeking similar approvals for three-storey additions to their homes, which would completely and utterly destroy the character, amenity and vistas for everyone in the area. So to summarise, for those three reasons I mentioned are statutory non-compliance, loss of amenity and privacy, and the terrible precedents this would set, I strongly urge the panel to accept the officer's recommendation and refuse this application.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Toohey. Any questions for Mr. Toohey?
No.
Thank you. Jeff McAuliffe.
Good afternoon, panel. Firstly, I'd like to thank the panel for visiting my home this morning. It was much appreciated. Mr. Toohey has covered most of my objections as well, and I just wanted to emphasise the lack of privacy to our two courtyards, lounge room and kitchen area, if the proposal is accepted, because from the new third storey, especially the balcony, will look directly into my pool area and our two courtyards, as was shown this morning. Thank you very much.
Martin Winsen.
What are you saying? Where is it?
Turn the microphone.
What?
Turn the microphone.
Oh, she's very helpful.
Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel. My name is Martin Winsen. I live in the apartment across Nicholson Street that you visited this morning.
Yes.
I would like to see the panel deny this application. In terms of the DA itself, a previous DA was submitted last year and denied by council because it breached the LEP and the DCP, and this DA is not materially different from the previous one. The council report that you have recommends against approving the DA. In fact, I'm not sure why this DA has been forwarded to the panel in the first place rather than denied by council. It's unclear to me who decides which DAs will be referred to the panel and what criteria they use, and perhaps you can enlighten me. This DA does not meet the controls set out in the LEP and the DCP. Both of these documents are very important and they exist for the good of the community, and I think it is important for the community that you uphold them. Within the DA itself, the diagrams and renders do not give a true picture of the visual impact of the proposed building from the streetscapes of Darling Street and particularly Nicholson Street. I believe they understate the visual impacts. In terms of privacy, you've seen I live in a tiny 54 square metre apartment with a one-year-old son, and being able to have the blinds open while enjoying privacy is paramount to our quality of life. The additional story would eliminate any privacy that we have now. Anyone in a third story would look down directly into my son's bedroom and our living room. In terms of views, the current building already breaches existing height controls. A third story would block a substantial amount of our city views, including the Ernst & Young building, which I think is one of the most iconic new buildings in Sydney. And a third story would effectively force us to close our blinds most of the time, effectively eliminating our enjoyment of views. In terms of heritage and character concerns, I note that this building is on the corner surrounded by three heritage buildings, even though it itself is not heritage of heritage interest. This is the intersection in Balmain East. While other buildings in the area have rooftop terraces, none of those buildings are on a corner, and certainly none of them are on this landmark corner. Our experience with other rooftop decks and verandas in the area is that so-called temporary structures are effectively permanent. For example, umbrellas, clothes horses, statues, telescopes and barbecues are regularly stored indefinitely and are visible on verandas that I can see from my living room and sometimes can be seen from the street. I'd like you to picture this iconic corner with those kinds of structures left on a veranda. Approving this DA would set a dangerous precedent for the area, as mentioned before. If you approve this DA, then many others will be looking to add additional stories to their buildings, even if they breach the LEP and the DCP, and even if they impact on the views and privacy of others. The applicants could develop their property within the existing envelope without impacting on privacy, views, or on the character or heritage of the area, and I would encourage them to do so. Thank you for your time, and I ask that you accept the recommendation of the council and deny this application.
Thank you, Mr. Winston. Bill Haislam.
Good afternoon. I'm. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Got a red light? You're on.
Red light's on. Good afternoon. As I said, I am Bill Haislam. My wife Jess and I own and have lived for 52 years at 5 Looks Avenue, directly behind 49 Darling Street. You'll have read my objections to the current and earlier DAs for this redevelopment, so I'll not bother trying to rehash them. They cover our concerns regarding privacy, floor space ratio and building height, and by extension, an apparent lack of concern for the heritage significance of the area and the sharing of its magnificent harbour views. This DA with its proposed third floor was submitted in 2017 and knocked back with helpful comments from Council in January this year, yet it has been returned with no substantial changes. Jess and I moved to Sydney from Melbourne in June 1966 with three young children. We'd holidayed it with friends in Balmain several times, loved the area, and we bought our small, dilapidated Looks Avenue terrace house. It was all we could afford. I was a young architect and our three children went to Nicholson Street School. At the time, Balmain was a working class community undergoing a huge transformation. Industry was moving out and so were its old folks. The beautiful old 1800s houses were ready for renovation and restoration, and many of us did so. However, big business thought otherwise, and we were faced with massive developments, including a container wharf, now the cruise terminal, the Moreton Bay shipping precinct, and a chemical farm, plus plans for high-rise development on the East Balmain Peninsula, one of which is opposite us in Nicholson Street. The Balmain Association had been formed in 1965 with the aim of preserving historical Balmain, and I joined this committee. The old watch house was saved from demolition and we lost other battles. And it was an uphill battle all the way, but much of the historic Balmain we now enjoy remains, plus parks at Peacock Point, Moreton Bay, Old Caltex site, and the restored Bell's store at the Balmain East Wharf. Over many years, Leichhardt Council has successfully formulated sensible planning rules and established protective historical conservation areas. The Looks Avenue Terrace group is one of these. However, Balmain will always be threatened with proposals that ignore the rules for short-term personal gain, but once gone, lost forever. Today, I urge the planning panel to reject this DA and all similar developments that do not recognise basic courtesies regarding privacy, overdevelopment, building height, overshadowing, parking, and in particular, shared views. Approval of the current DA at 49 Darling Street is most likely to create a "they did it, so why can't we" precedent for Balmain. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thanks to the panel for listening to us this afternoon. I'll address the principal statutory planning issues. David Welsh, the architect, will address the design issues, and Bruce Lay will address the heritage issues. The assessment report identifies that the threshold issue in this application is that posed by clause 4.4a, bracket 3, bracket C of the LEP, whether the proposed third level is compatible with the desired future character of the area in relation to its bulk form, uses and scale. And the panel will be familiar with the planning principle in Project Venture Developments and Pittwater Council, where compatibility is discussed at some length, and the point is that compatible doesn't mean the same. It means capable of existing together in harmony. And that's what the planning principle then sets two tests for compatibility. Number one, is the proposal's appearance in harmony with the buildings around it and the character of the street? That is, does it contain or respond to the essential elements that make up the character of the surrounding environment? Now, the elements of existing and desired future character in this case are described in parts 2221 of the DCP. David Welsh will address in more detail than a pure assertion how the height, setbacks, architectural style and materials of his design relate to the site and its surroundings. The second test is, are the proposal's physical impacts on surrounding development acceptable? And the assessment report identifies some adverse amenity impacts resulting from a three-storey eastern side boundary wall with windows, and those are to do with visual and acoustic privacy outlook and visual bulk. And the assessment report also states that the design doesn't promote view sharing from adjoining properties. And in response to those points, I'd say from the point of view of visual privacy, the windows that are proposed on the eastern boundary wall have setbacks so that anyone who is viewing from those windows would have such acute viewline angles that the privacy of any sensitive areas of number 47 Darling Street would be maintained. But if that is an issue that remains of concern to the panel, we'd be happy to discuss or consider potential design solutions that might address any overlooking that the panel considered remained. In respect of acoustic privacy, these windows are not proposed to be openable, so there won't be a noise issue of transmission to number 47. With regard to outlook and visual bulk, the outlook from the windows of number 47 is not towards these proposed windows. And with regard to views, the architect has prepared, and if the panel would like to see them, is prepared to show graphics demonstrating that the loss of any views from properties to the west and southwest of the site will be minor, and we'll be happy to present those things to the panel. And also, of course, we're happy to provide any further explanation or answer any questions that the panel might have.
Yes, Mrs. Taylor has a question for you, Mr. Pagan.
Mr. Pagan, the compatibility test is with the desired future character. Can you tell me what is the desired future character?
Well, there are many elements of the desired future character. I don't happen to have them readily to hand. I could turn them up, I expect. No, it's okay, David. In particular, with particular reference to this proposal, they are to preserve and enhance the existing streetscape with special consideration for the remaining colonial and Victorian buildings, to allow for contemporary redevelopment, where it is complementary to the existing heritage streetscapes and character scale of the neighbourhood. There's a long one about the interface between business zone sites and adjacent residentially zoned land to be carefully considered in light of issues relating to bulk scale and residential amenity, and calls up Part C 4.5 of the DCP. The maximum building envelope is 7.2 metres for commercial sites, 6 metres for residential sites. Rooftop additions higher than the building wall height, if permitted, are to be set back from the front of the building to preserve the traditional scale of development and streetscape. Maintain the historic two-storey scale of development. Ensure the sharing of views by maintaining a built form which follows the topography of the land. New development or significant additions to buildings should respect the existing context of the streetscape in terms of scale, materials, and sympathy to the existing built form. And we'd say that this proposal is consistent with all of those desired future character provisions.
Can I ask what document you're reading from there?
Sorry, what?
Can I ask from what document you're reading?
Well, I've extracted the... that's from my statement of environmental effects.
Yes.
Where I was dealing with that particular part of the DCP.
Well, can you tell me which part of the DCP that is?
It's part 2.2.2.1 and 2.2.2.1 bracket C.
Thank you. Did you include in your assessment the statement of significance for the conservation area, which includes, this is a conservation area, little change can be expected other than modest additions and discrete alterations? What should be retained is all residential and commercial structures pre-1939?
Yes, I'm aware that that's part of the... actually, it's not part of the statement of significance, but it's somewhere in that part of the DCP, I believe. I've extracted the statement of significance for the Balmain East Conservation Area on pages 8 and 9 of my statement.
Thank you.
Anything further? Or Mr. Hagen?
Thank you.
David Welsh, architect. Sorry, David Welsh, architect.
Thank you to the panel for the opportunity to speak. I think the issue comes down to the following position, and this is the position that was expressed in the council officer's report, that given the bulk and height of the third story addition, and when considered from all vantage points from which the additions will be visible, the proposal would adversely affect the heritage significance, fabric, settings and views of the conservation area. I have a fundamental issue with that. I think it's incorrect on many levels. We've taken on board council officers' opinions over the past year or more. We've made significant changes to the proposal, and in particular the massing, bulk and scale of the proposal. And the result is that the proposal is close to invisible from Darling Street, protecting the iconic views down Darling Street, and particularly that view that you see down towards the east and the Harbour Bridge at the end. The addition is set well behind the existing parapet. It's 3 metres behind Nicholson Street and nearly 5 metres behind the Darling Street parapet. The material selection is reductive and appropriate. We've provided photo montages that show the building's proposed impact from the two opposite corners of the Darling and Nicholson Street intersection, which were part of the DA application. I've got a copy of these here, which I can show you again if you need them. We've provided photo montages from vantage points further north along Nicholson Street as well to show that there is nearly zero impact, and east on Darling looking back up the hill. And these all together show minimum or sometimes non-existent impact of the proposal on the views and the streetscape. If you think it would help, and if the panel permits it, we've got a little 3D electronic model that we can show you, showing the configuration of the building and then flying down to each of those significant points on the corners. Other issues that have been raised in the...
I don't think we're concerned about the fact that it can be seen.
Okay. So, again, when we come down to Clause 4.3, this is the issue that triggers the ability to go to an FSR of 1.5 to 1. And it comes down to these three criteria: that the building comprises mixed-use development, including residential accommodation, which it does. The building will have an active street frontage, which it does. And the building is compatible with the desired future character of the area in relation to bulk, form, uses and scale. And there's those 19 points that John mentioned to you before. We've gone through it at great length to ensure that each of those principles has been met. Issues of amenity, of overlooking, have been addressed in the DA, and we've showed sight lines on some of our sections. We've deliberately set back outside areas so that you can't look down onto neighbouring properties. We've shown projected view analyses from other vantage points, not just the ones that we've mentioned on the corners, but also some of the neighbours on Nicholson Street in response to some photos that they sent into council. And I think we've promoted view sharing as best as we possibly can. I don't think anyone is really losing any significant views at all. The site is not a heritage item. Our client and owner of the property is a respected heritage consultant who has worked extensively in the area with council. Well, I'll leave it at that.
Right, thank you. I think I was probably a little bit hasty in saying that it couldn't be seen. Will be qualified, I think, but I don't think we need to see the demonstration.
Okay.
To understand it.
Yeah, you've seen the photo montages, though. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, there's a question from Mr. Stapleton.
In order to construct the third floor, well, the third level, the proposal includes demolishing the existing roof structure.
Part of the existing roof structure, yeah.
What path stays?
The parapets will stay. We want to keep all the all of the walls. We're going to have to alter some of the roof.
I said the roof structure.
The roof structure. The joists will be removed. Joists and the rafters.
And the rafters.
Yeah.
And the roofing.
And the roofing.
The flashing.
The flashing. Some of it. Nothing that's visible from the street.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wells. No more further questions, Mr. Wells. Bruce Lay.
Thank you, panel. I've had a 50-year career in heritage architecture, and I worked for LICAT for 25 years working. I managed the LICAT Heritage Study, which underpins the current comprehensive conservation areas, which are the main heritage management tool that's been used in LICAT. And I agree that this building has contributory value, even though it was quite badly mauled when we bought it in 2001. And we've, in two stages, attempted to bring it back and make it more attractive and more useful. We cannot reduce significantly the impacts on the neighbours of the third level, even though virtually everybody in the neighbourhood has a third level, and that doesn't seem to be understood, without dropping the floor line. But as you would have seen from the inspection, the interiors are basically highly modified, mostly 1970s, 1980s. And so there are no ceilings of significance. The framework of the house will remain. But dropping that ceiling means that what we do up there is substantially screened by the high parapets. The high parapets are 1.6 metres high to the street frontages, which means that we can not only have privacy, we can prevent any problems with our neighbours by doing that. There is no scope for intrusion from that roof space. We, of course, cannot get a viable dwelling without some, for ourselves, without some outdoor space, and the roof is the obvious place to do that. We are reducing the size of the first floor deck because it means we can actually put more living space on that level and remove it to the roof level to behind the parapets, where it's further away from residential properties. So we're actually reducing our impacts on our neighbours, and it'd be good if that was understood. Most buildings in that area, including the major heritage items, are three-storied. The Unity Hall Hotel, or the Oddfellows Hall across from our site, is three-storey. Onkaparinga, which is the major building in Johnson Street just down the road, is three storeys with a huge roof, modern roof on it, and so on. I think that we're seeking to do sympathetic things and respect the character, and I think that what we're doing is creating a house, a new house for our retirement within the neighbourhood business zone, which is commercially of limited, has major problems. We have a shop there which is marginal.
You need to finish up, Mr. Lay.
So we're attempting to support the neighbourhood business and the active street frontage in combination with getting a high amenity house to serve our needs in our old age. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Lay?
No.
No questions for Mr. Lay. Thank you. Panel, are we still ready to go? Nothing to change.
and let him go. Or do you want to say something?
Thank you.
This is an application to make alterations and additions to the existing mixed-use building, including an additional floor and the installation of a lift. Under the LEP, the permissible floor space ratio for the property is 1:1. The proposal has a floor space ratio 1.48:1. Clause 4.483 of the LEP, however, provides for a possible FSR of 1.5:1 should a proposal satisfactorily comply with three criteria. The building comprises mixed-use development, including residential accommodation, and the building will have an active street frontage, and the building is compatible with the desired future character of the area in relation to its bulk, form, uses and scale. In addition, the application has not been accompanied by a clause 4.6 request designed to substantiate any variance of floor space ratio. Panel members have visited the site and also the homes of three objectors. The panel considers whilst the design of the addition has merit and there is no objection to installation of a lift, the panel considers that the Darling and Nicholson Street intersections to be of very high heritage importance, and given the bulk and height of the third story addition, the proposal is not supported on heritage grounds and therefore is not considered compatible with the desired future character of the area. Under these circumstances, the panel supports the recommendation on page 284 of the meeting agenda for refusal of the application and for the reasons outlined in that report.
Moving on to the next matter, which is item number 5.
Can we have a 5-minute break so I can go to the loo?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you.
There'll be a short break, just to allow people who need to turn on their mobile phones to do so. How are we going?
Three or four more. I forgot to ask you to do this.
Oh, yeah, we've got to fill in the bit of paper. I don't think... Did I ask? I think I did, didn't I?
You did. You did at the start of the meeting.
Do we put all items?
Just all items, yeah. We're not going to go each page.
And then put nothing if you don't have anything. That's the first box, yes.
No known. An actual or reasonable... conflict. I have no known, no actual. I'll turn Anne into no. Signature. The date's the 11th, isn't it?
I can see.
The meeting is resumed, ladies and gentlemen, and we start with item number 5, which is relating to the property 31 Gipps Street, Birchgrove. Is anyone here in relation to that project? The panel, if you could just bear with us for a moment, the panel was very interested in imposing a condition whereby the fireplace, the chimney breast and fireplace in the front room and the archway in the front hall be not demolished. Do you have any thing to put to us about that? Perhaps if you're going to make some lengthy submission, perhaps you should come forward to the microphone, if you wouldn't mind. Identify yourself.
I'm Tom Silvius, the architect.
Thank you.
The
Yeah. I'm going to guess that there was probably a double fireplace there at one time, and maybe the other half was removed.
Press the button.
Oh, it's on. Oh, okay. I just wasn't... Okay. So the chimney is gone on the roof, so the fireplace isn't workable, and so we just assumed that there would be no real reason to keep it. It wouldn't probably be an operational fireplace, and I think the client, due to the size of the house, would prefer to have storage.
Yes, I understand that. It is, however, a den, shown on the plan as a den. And the wall between the den and the next room, which is a laundry, is not moved. You're retaining that wall.
As much as we can, yes. So there'll be some cuts
into
it. It
was my opinion that the chimney rest, although it would take some room, it would take up some room, this requirement would not crucify your proposal.
It wouldn't. I mean, it would be purely aesthetic. Since it's not working, we didn't want to reinstate it. And since there's not a chimney, there it could never operate as a fireplace. So in some ways, it's superfluous. And so it's really a decorative item at this point.
Value the fireplace and the breast. It's not something that you'd die in the trenches over, I take it, in terms of how it affects your whole project.
It's not something you'd die in the trenches for, but it's a relatively small house. There's been a number of compromises made in the design. Storage is going to be key to make the house kind of more amenable and workable for my client, and we felt that it is in a conservation zone, but maintaining the front of the house exactly as it is. This is an internal feature that is basically right now a mantle.
It is in a heritage area.
Yes, but I don't think the fireplace would necessarily be considered a significant heritage item. And it can't be used. And so it's really whether the client is being forced to keep a mantle that is, it's sort of a fake item in the house. It can't be used. It's sort of like having a painting hanging there and requiring us to keep the painting.
The only matter that the panel wishes to digress to relates to the demolition of the chimney breast and fireplace. It is the opinion of the panel that it's preferable to keep it, notwithstanding that there may be some loss of potential for storage or whatever. And accordingly, the panel will decide that the demolition of the chimney breast and fireplace in the front room and the archway in the front hall will not be approved. Otherwise, the public interest is best served by the consistent application of the requirements of the relevant environmental planning instruments. Apart from the provisions in relation to a development standard, the applicant has made a written request pursuant to clause 4.6 of the LEP in support of the contravention of the development standard for clause 4.3A3B relating to site coverage for residential development in this zone. After considering the request and assuming the concurrence of the Secretary has been given, the panel is satisfied that it's been demonstrated compliance with the standard is unnecessary in the circumstances of the case, and that there are sufficient environmental grounds the proposed development will be in the public interest because the exceedance is not inconsistent with the objectives of the standard and of the zone in which the development is to be carried out. The resolution of the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of council as the consent authority pursuant to clause 4.16, the EPNA Act, is to grant consent to development application number D2018/417 for ground and first floor alterations and additions to the existing dwelling house and associated works at 51 Gipp Street, Birchgrove, subject to the conditions listed in the attachment A to the report by the council officers, subject to a further condition that there be no demolition of the fireplace and no demolition of the chimney breast and fireplace in the front room or the archway in the front hall, and that additional condition can appear at the foot of the table in condition one. Now moving on to I've made some mistakes.
That's correct.
You'll get it all from page 340. Where is it? No demolition. Chimney dress and fireplace in the front room. And the archway in the front hallway. Yeah. Well, it's in the front. In the front room. And then perhaps the brackets could be dropped down. That's it. Thank you. Moving on to item number six. Item number six relates to the property number 6 Glassop Street, Balmain. Is anyone here for representing the owners in that development? During the development, during the inspection on site today, a discussion took place about the proposed change to the slope of the alfresco roof, which first appeared in the pre-DA drawings. The owner indicated to the panel during that inspection that there would be no objection to the proposed alfresco roof in the pre-DA drawings being reinstated, it having been reorientated to slope down to the northwest towards the existing gable roof of the rear addition, creating a butterfly type roof. Traditionally, roofs at the rear of buildings pitch away from and below the main roof forms in order to remain sympathetic to the original house, and in the opinion of the panel, the slope of the roof should be reorientated back to that in the pre-DA, sloping down to the southeast. That is, notwithstanding that it is higher than the existing gable roof, its slope will thereby be complementary. The public interest is best served by the consistent application of the requirements of the environmental planning instruments and by council and the panel ensuring that any adverse effects on the surrounding area and the environment are appropriately managed. The proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in LEP 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. It's considered suitable to the site and for approval subject to the imposing of appropriate conditions. Accordingly, the panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority pursuant to clause 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, grants commencement consent to development application number 2018388 for alterations and additions to the rear of the dwelling house at 6 Glossop Street, Balmain, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A of the officer's report. Item number 7 relates to the Balmain Rowing Club in White Street, Balmain. The panel visited the site today, and I'll ask Mrs. Taylor to indicate what the deliberations and the conclusion of the panel are. Thank you, Mrs. Taylor.
Thank you. In this matter, it is noted that the Roads and Maritime Services had to approve this application. They have done so in a note that is in the Council Town Planning Report, and generally the report recommends that this is approvable as it is, subject to the conditions in the report, and accordingly the panel has found that the proposal generally complies with all of the requirements of the Sydney Harbour Catchment SREP and the Leichhardt LEP and DCP, and there will be no significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises, and the RMS have found that the change is more appropriate in terms of safety on the water and the amenity of the Balmain Rowing Club and its neighbours. So accordingly, the approval, you might read out, Chair, at page 436 under the heading conclusion.
Thank you. The proposal generally complies. I think you actually have said that, Mrs. Taylor.
No, but this is the reasons now.
It's the recommendation you want, isn't it?
No, it's the whole thing, just that whole
thing. All right.
Paragraph.
The proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in SREP, Sydney Harbour Catchment 2005, Leichhardt and Local Environmental Plan, Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013, and Leichhardt DCP 2013, the development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises, the streetscape or the natural environment, including the foreshore. The application is considered suitable for approval subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. The resolution of the panel is that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as a consent authority pursuant to clause 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1970.
It's section
4.55. It's a modification. I've got it. Just going back, pursuant to section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, modify development consent number 2008-325 as outlined in the and subject to the conditions as outlined in the attachment A to the report,
Mr. Chairman,
from the Council.
Mr. Chairman, I note that there's not a revised version of the conditions here.
Are there any modification conditions?
Normally the council office would include the whole set of conditions as modified.
And I'll point out that giving notice of the determination of the development application, the conditions of the consent as modified by this application should be published in full as an attachment.
That's what you're saying, isn't it?
That's what you wanted to say?
Yes.
Moving on to item number 8.
Vice President of the club. Thank you.
Righto. Good on you. Thank you. Relating to the development at 103 Birchgrove Road, Birchgrove, for the alterations and additions to a semi-detached cottage. First person to speak, Sue Mitchell. You can, you, not quite as good looking as Sue Mitchell, I assume, but you'll do. Any port in the storm for us at this time of the afternoon?
Lucky last, at least numbers on the agenda.
Yeah.
My name's John Mitchell. I reside at 22 Thomas Street, which is owned by my wife, Susan Mitchell. May I express my admiration to your panel, having sat through this afternoon, the willingness of the time you're prepared to put into these issues and the responsibility you bear. It's rather incredible. Can I read the statement? This is my wife speaking, while I acknowledge the property at 103 is in need of renovation.
I hope it's not the usual wife statement because you've only got 3 minutes.
It'll be less than three. The proposed alteration to the existing roofline, topped by the aluminium framed windows to clerestory in brackets, is blatantly contrary to the council's current heritage policy for this area. The ugly box-like addition extension to the roof of the adjoining 101 Birchgrove was approved in 2005 at a time when the heritage control regulations had curiously been relaxed for that property and maybe others. Council approached me at the time as part of the adjoining property objection process, and while I was not happy with this extension in front of my property, it seemed pointless pursuing an objection when council had virtually approved it. I was also expecting that if regulations had been relaxed, it would be possible for my roofline to be raised similarly at a later date. The owners of 101 Birchgrove property subsequently sold within 2 years of that development. In 2012 and 16, I approached council with a request to modestly raise my roofline or part thereof to enlarge my attic space, and was advised at pre-planning meetings that heritage regulations would not allow this, even if done in conjunction with the 24 Thomas Street neighbour, the one you also went to, so that both roof lines were kept uniform. Why is council now prepared to relax regulations again with 103 Birchgrove when I have been refused with a similar request for 22 Thomas Street? Why should special approval be given even if a precedent had been set in unusual circumstances in 2005, and even if it is argued that a setback has been included in the proposal? I strongly object to the proposal in its present form, with a roof extension to the level indicated on the plan submitted. Just can I add that we're very interested to see the panel's interpretation of these rather subjective roofline heritage rules, guidelines in our area. If you are prepared to go along with it and acknowledge the precedent set in 101, then I can only hope that the recommendation will be to revamp the, to have the architects revamp and redesign so that at least there's less intrusion and that the top extension above what is existing at the moment is certainly knocked back. Thank you.
Thank you for your assistance, Mr. Mitchell, and also from Mrs. Mitchell. I call on Eugenie Harley. Architect.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Harley.
With regard to the objections made to this development proposal, I would simply defer to the comments made by the assessing officer in the DA assessment report before the panel. However, within that assessment report, there are two recommended conditions which I would like to ask the panel to consider. The first is 6G, which requires that windows W1 and W2 be deleted. We're happy to concede that W1 should be deleted, but we would ask that window 2